A red letter W grows against a black background until the screen is a deep red. A white letter W replaces it. Warner Brothers, a Warner Communications company. Kennedy Miller present. Mel Gibson in Mad Max 2. The bold metallic letters fade to black. With Bruce Spence, Mike Preston, Max Phipps as the Toady, Vernon Wells as Wes, and Emil Minty as the Feral Kid. Screenplay by Terry Hayes, George Miller, with Brian Hannant. Art direction, Graham Grace Walker. Costume designer, Norma Morrico. Director of photography, Dean Semler, ACS. Production supervisor, Patrick Clayton. Music composed and conducted by Brian May. Produced by Byron Kennedy. Directed by George Miller. A stubbly, disheveled man in his late 20s stands silently on a desert road.
All that remains are memories. I remember a time of chaos, ruined dreams, this wasted land. But most of all, I remember the road warrior, the man we called Max. To understand who he was, you have to go back to another time, when the world was powered by the black fuel, and the desert sprouted great cities of pipe and steel. Gone now, swept away. For reasons long forgotten, two mighty warrior tribes went to war and touched off a blaze which engulfed them all. Without fuel, they were nothing. They'd built a house of straw. The thundering machine sputtered and stopped. Their leaders talked. And talked and talked. But nothing could stem the avalanche. Their world crumbled. The cities exploded. A whirlwind of looting. A firestorm of fear. Men began to feed on men. On the roads, it was a white line nightmare. Only those mobile enough to scavenge, brutal enough to pillage, would survive. The gangs took over the highways, ready to wage war for a tank of juice. And in this maelstrom of decay, ordinary men were battered and smashed. Men like Max, the warrior Max. In the roar of an engine,
Max kissing a brunette. The woman flees from bikers with a child in her arms. They knock her down.
A man haunted by the demons of his past. A man who wandered out into the wasteland. And it was here, in this blighted place, that he learned to live again.
An aerial view of the desert plunges down towards a long, straight road. Max hurtles along in a battered Ford Falcon muscle car with a supercharger that protrudes from the bonnet. A squat, mottled grey Australian cattle dog sits on the passenger seat, staring back at two vehicles in hot pursuit. A man in a leather mask, large sunglasses and a helmet is at the wheel of a modified car with a skull on the bonnet. Two figures on a motorcycle overtake him. Burning detritus blocks the road up ahead. Max weaves neatly around the obstacles and the motorcycle uses one as a ramp. The man in the mask drives his car straight through the obstacles and puts his foot down. Max's dog yawns. Max glances at the petrol gauge. The needle hovers around the zero mark. He disengages the supercharger. The dog hops into the back of the car and looks around skittishly. Max slows the Falcon down, allowing the pursuing car and motorbike to gain on him. The guy driving the motorbike has a crossbow, and the man in the car has an improvised dart gun. They draw level on either side of the Falcon and point their weapons at Max. Max slams on the brakes. The man in the car shoots, skewering the mohawked biker who careens off the road. Max starts up the supercharger and shunts the car. The driver glances back over his shoulder, not seeing one of his cohorts hurtle onto the road ahead of him in a buggy with a bare roll cage. They collide, and the buggy is smashed to pieces. The car barrel rolls to a stop on the asphalt. Max screeches to a halt, then reverses towards the carnage. Max's dog leaps out of the car. He gets out carrying a petrol can and runs back towards a parked Mack truck. He stops when he sees the mohawked biker, Wes, crest the hill ahead of him. The burly biker has crossbow bolts in a quiver on his thigh and wears a heavy armored waistcoat with black feathers sticking up around his neck. A wiry, effeminate, bleach blonde guy in leather fetish gear rides Pillion. Max runs to the crashed buggy, which is leaking petrol. He grabs a helmet from the ground and puts it under the leak to collect the fuel, along with a plastic jug and a loose hubcap. He dabs at the road with a cloth and wrings it into the hubcap, which serves as a dish. The parked biker screams. There's a crossbow bolt sticking out of his right arm. His crossbow is attached to a glove on his left hand. He reaches across and takes a grip on the bolt in his upper arm. He grits his teeth and pulls as hard as he can. He pulls it out and smiles, then slides it into his quiver. He drives forward, and Max pulls out a sawn-off shotgun with a truncated wooden stock. The biker turns and rides off over the hill, pulling a wheelie as he goes. Lean, stubbly Max wears a metal leg brace and is dressed from head to toe in black leathers, with one sleeve cut short above the elbow. He walks back to the truck. A canvas sheet draped over the trailer flaps in the wind. Max taps the gas tank of the truck. A hand rises desperately from the nearby wreckage. The bloody hand goes limp. Max opens the driver's door of the truck and a rotten, bloated corpse falls out. Max steps out of the way and eyes it impassively. A small metal contraption fell out with it. He picks it up. It's a music box. He turns its small handle. Max smiles. Max's smile fades and he puts the music box inside his jacket. He motors off in the Ford Falcon, kicking up a thick cloud of dust. Max drives across sun-bleached scrubland. He brings the car to a stop and stares out across bare, twisted trees and miles of barren landscape. Something catches his eye. A wheeled contraption with overhead rotor blades. It's an improvised gyrocopter. Max stares at it without expression, then gets out of the Falcon, clutching a crowbar. Max rounds the Falcon and starts across the sandy ground towards the gyrocopter. It's little more than a seat on wheels with rotor blades. He cautiously steps closer, noticing a thick snake coiled around the vertical axle connected to the blades. It stares at him. He raises a hand slowly as a distraction and gazes at it with a look of concentration. The snake lunges and snaps at him. He hisses at it. He grabs it swiftly. A man with a crossbow springs up from beneath the sand.
Nice! Now the iron. The gun. Down, down. Turn around.
Max drops his weapons. The man dances around him with the crossbow. He wears flying goggles, plimsolls and leggings. He clears sand from one nostril and grins.
Booby-trapped. Touch those tanks and...
The man considers. He scuttles round Max towards the car with the crossbow trained at Max's head.
Oh, you crafty little man, you. You're quick. Very quick. Never seen a man beat the snake before.
Who are you?
Reflexes. That's what you got. Me, I got brains. Hey.
Max squats and reaches for a knife hidden underneath the car. The man steps forward menacingly.
I'd have to pin his head to the panel.
Max lets go of the knife and flicks a switch on the underside of the car. He raises a hand in a gesture of compliance, then slowly stands and starts for the car door.
Don't play me the fool.
The man steps in his way. The man goes to open the car door and the dog leaps out at him. Max draws a knife and pins him to the ground.
20 miles from here. Permanent they are. Refining. A huge tanker full.
Crap.
No. It's true. It's not self-service. No. It's too hard for me. But a man of your ingenuity.
Where?
Kill me and you'll never find out.
Max drags the oddly attired gyro captain to his feet by his purple scarf. Max drives through the desert with the man bound and chained to the passenger seat beside him. The shotgun hangs from the roof, trained at the captain's head, with string looped around the trigger and attached to a bone clenched tightly between the vigilant dog's teeth. The dog spots a rabbit run past outside and the captain blanches. Max smirks. Wearing girly pink plimsolls, yellow leggings and a long leather jacket, the gyro captain leads Max and the dog across a rocky hilltop. They kneel to observe bandit bikers swarming around a fortified compound with smoking chimneys on the desert below.
There it is. 4 days I was up here.
Max looks through binoculars.
And Mahjong, taking tea, watching, thinking. How's I gonna get in and get the gas? Day or night it's pumping. Ka-chunk, ka-chunk, ka-chunk. Build a bear. They got the lot. Power lights, you name it. You bet your life they mean to keep it. 30 of them in there. Arrows, flamethrowers, guns. No place for man or reptile, I thought. Then this trash arrived. It's moss to a flame. Round and round, attack, attack. Like angry ants, mad with the smell of gasoline.
An oil derrick nods like a huge mechanical horse. Max spots red mohawked wares through the binoculars. He's shouting and gesturing at a muscle-bound man in a buggy. In the compound, two men climb a ladder to a round ledge atop a tall oil refinery tower.
Thousands of gallons, much as you want. If anyone's gonna get in there, it's gonna be you. Me. I've gotta feed the snakes. A man lives by his word, I reckon, and I've kept mine, eh?
He holds up his shackled wrists. Max drags him by them.
We've had a deal. I show you the gas and you let me go, right?
He chains him to a tree stump.
After all I talked to you...
I reckon you got a bargain, didn't you?
Max grabs him. The captain sinks to his knees and Max goes back to the rocky ledge to look down over the deceptively barren oil fields. Some time passes and the captain lies slumped against a rock with the dog lying beside him on its back, its belly in the sun. Max has rigged the binoculars to a tripod. He draws back from the eyepieces and opens a big tin of Dinky D meat and vegetables dog food with a clumsy keyring can opener. The dog eagerly rolls onto its paws and watches as Max digs a big chunk of meat out of the can with a fork and puts it in his mouth. He closes his eyes as he chews, then swallows. The captain wakes up. His messy hair is a sandy blonde. He spots Max hungrily gobbling the dog food and looks on covetously. Max wipes his forehead on the back of his hand. The captain sits up and takes a wooden spoon from inside his jacket. Max peers through the binoculars. He watches as a biker hurtles up a ramp and soars through the air, disappearing behind a stack of car tires. Max fishes a tiny piece of meat out on the fork and eats it, then throws the can to his dog. The dog wears a red rag like a neckerchief for a collar. It eats greedily from the can. The captain reaches out gingerly to take it, but the dog snaps at him. He recoils in fright, then gazes hungrily at the can and licks his lips. Night is drawing in. The gyro captain eats leftover meat from the can of dog food. Max wears a thick woolen poncho. They watch as the cars and motorcycles surrounding the oil plant suddenly start their engines and drive away over the plain, their wheels kicking up great clouds of dust in their wake. Small fires burn at the bottom of the slope. Max and the gyro captain stare out over the desolate landscape as the vehicles depart. The gaunt, dirty-faced captain swallows a mouthful of dog food and delicately dabs his mouth with a rag. The lights of the oil plant gleam in the encroaching darkness. Day. The sun beats down on Max's makeshift camp. He, his dog and the captain lie sleeping. All seems quiet at the plant on the plain below. It's surrounded by a deep hexagonal ditch and walls of car tires act as ramparts on either side of the entrance, sporting mounted long-barreled guns. The dog wakes and looks down as a dust cloud kicked up by circling vehicles surrounds the complex. A car starts towards them across the plain. Max wakes with his sawn-off shotgun on his lap. He sits up sharply and squints down at the desert below. A number of cars and motorbikes have gathered in a huddle. The gathering disperses and the vehicles hair off, leaving long white dust trails behind them. Max watches with narrowed eyes as a Jeep overtakes all the other vehicles with ease. He turns his eyes back to the compound as a roll cage buggy drives out through the main gates and drives off in the opposite direction to all the other vehicles. The scrawny, gangly captain wakes up. The lone vehicle is heading for the rocky hill they're standing on. Max rises quickly, snatching his binoculars and holstering the gun at his waist. He hurries to the other side of their high lookout and watches as the buggy rounds the hill. It hares onto a dirt road, and four bandits on motorcycles motor after it. Max observes through his binoculars as the buggy flips over and rolls to a stop on the dirt road. Wes pulls up beside it, along with the other bikers and a pickup truck. Wes opens the roof of the buggy's cage. The captain extends a brass telescope the size of a baseball bat and looks through it. A woman flees from the buggy. Two bandits chase and capture her. Max lowers the binoculars and sees the captain's telescope. He snatches it from him in exchange for the binoculars and watches as the bandits drag the woman to the ground. Max observes as Wes arms his glove-mounted crossbow and shares a look with his willowy peroxide boyfriend. The bandits are restraining a wounded man they've captured. Wes shoots the man with a crossbow bolt. Max turns the telescope towards the woman as she struggles against her burly captors. The gyro captain stares intently through the large binoculars. His face registers horror as he watches them tear off the woman's clothes. He lowers the binoculars, then lifts them to his eyes again. A mohawked bandit pins the woman to the ground. Another bandit snatches up a large crossbow and gets in a modified pickup truck. Max watches as Wes mounts his motorbike and drives off with his boyfriend. A small convoy of biker bandits follows Wes along the dirt road. Max stands up and fixes his telescope on the oil plant and the gun turrets flanking the entrance of the compound. He scans the desert, then hands the telescope to the captain and sprints over to the Falcon. He uncovers it from beneath a camouflage net. The captain looks through the telescope. A bandit is raping the woman. The man Wes shot is slumped against the buggy with his eyes closed. The captain turns to see Max drive off in the Falcon. He looks down at the road through the telescope. The woman lies defeated on her back. The goateed rapist stands over her with his crossbow and shoots. The captain takes the telescope from his eye and stares in shock. The woman lies dead with her breasts exposed. Clutching a heavy set of bolt cutters, Max creeps past her on foot and steals up behind the rapist who sits on the ground lacing a boot. He looks up to see Max and grins. He reaches for his crossbow, but Max stamps on his hand and knocks him out cold with the bolt cutters. Max stoops by the wounded man and ties a length of rope around his leg above a bleeding gash. Crossbow bolts jut out of his chest.
I'm just here for the gasoline.
The man's eyes close. Max turns the man's head to look at him. He's pinned to the buggy. Max wrenches him forward and cuts one of the crossbow bolts with the bolt cutters. Across the desolate landscape as Max's Falcon cruises past an unoccupied ramshackle animal pen. Clutching a boomerang, a child with long straggly hair pops up from a hiding place and watches him pass. Max rolls up outside the compound with the wounded man in the back of his car. The peculiar-looking boy is about 10. He wears an oversized falconer's glove, ragged clothing, and little white boots. His legs and arms are bare. He scuttles out from the pen and stares curiously at Max's vehicle before starting in Max's direction. Max lifts the wounded man out of the car and approaches the compound with him slung over one shoulder.
Easy.
Gunmen aim at him.
Turn around.
The kid is following him. Max turns, holding up the shotgun. He drops it and turns to face the compound. The steel gate rolls aside. It's an armor-plated bus. Armed people flood out.
It's fine. Just stay there.
Cover
it. Hey there.
Cover
it. Come on, quick, quick.
The wounded man's mother sobs as a man takes him down from Max's shoulder. A woman points a bow and arrow at Max as he's frisked.
Warn him! You all heard me! Man, that's like that! We
can escape, take our gas.
A man at a turret. A bearded man takes his place at the turret. The wounded man is stretchered into the compound. Max is escorted in at arrow point. He glances around the compound as he's led inside. The wounded man's mother weeps as a young woman pumps air into his lungs with a medical device. A skinny man with receding hair approaches with an anxious expression. The blonde, middle-aged man from the turret, Papa Gallo, strides over to Max.
Look, I want some answers. Where did you find him?
2 or 3 miles down the road, left for dead. We had a deal.
There were 3 other vehicles. Did you see anything of them?
Yeah, they're heading hard to the southwest in heaps of trouble. Look, he said if I brought him back here, he'd give me some gas. There's not much time.
There was a woman in the car.
She's dead.
What did they do?
It was quick. Look, I just want my gas.
The man's upset.
We know he's one of them. Give him nothing.
He's right, he's a parasite.
Trading in human flesh. Mercenary trash.
We had an arrangement.
What do you mean, an arrangement?
You talk to this man.
The man he brought to the compound lies on his back with his eyes closed, blood caked over his face. His mother weeps openly over his dead body and strokes his cheeks. The woman with the breathing apparatus shares a sad look with a young man. Papa Gallo stares at the dead man.
Get rid of him.
Move it.
Come on. Bam!
Max is manhandled as his Ford Falcon V8 interceptor is dragged into the compound. A bushy-haired paraplegic man descends on a harness.
History. Would have been a shame to blow it up.
A trigger system. He pats the car. Max's dog runs at the paraplegic man from out of nowhere and bites at the makeshift shoes on his feet. A man goes for the dog, but Max grabs it first and restrains it. Someone draws a knife. Max picks up his dog as all hell breaks loose. People tear through the compound to secure it against attack. Pigs, rabbits, and chickens dart out of the way to avoid a trampling. A man sleeping in a hammock sits up. The long-haired kid scurries down into a tunnel. The armored bus is driven back into place to block the entrance. A woman handcuffs Max to a railing. A man in a Middle Eastern-style headscarf mans a flamethrower atop a turret. The woman clambers up onto a turret kitted out with a crossbow. The skinny man grabs a bunch of arrows. Max hops up onto a platform and looks out at the advancing army of bandits. A man with a rifle stands atop the refinery tower. Papa Gallo climbs onto a high platform and looks out over the approaching hordes. The man in the headscarf looks anxious behind the flamethrower. Men on the battlements ready their weapons. One draws back a bow, another swings a flaming projectile on a rope. 2 hostages are tied to the front of a vehicle at the forefront of the approaching bandits. One of the hostages is calling out. Other men are tied across the roofs of the approaching vehicles. Wes rides amongst them on his motorbike. The cars and bikes roll up outside the front gate of the compound. Wes dismounts his bike. His black feathery ruff is ruffled by the wind. He and Max give each other a hard stare. Toady, a little man in a fur hat, waves an arm about and the vehicles stop their engines. A man in a mask steps out of a buggy with an iron cross emblazoned on the front. A man in black leather fetish gear and goggles glowers. Toady.
The warrior of the wasteland! The Ayatollah of rock and roller!
I'm gravely disappointed.
Humongous.
My dogs of war. Look at what remains of your gallant scouts. Why? Because you're selfish. You hoard your gasoline. You've not listened to reason. Now, my prisoners say, you plan to take your gasoline out of the wasteland. You send them out this morning to find a vehicle. A rig big enough to hold that fat tank of gas. What a puny plan. Look around you. This is the valley of death.
Where shoots a rabbit?
Nothing can escape. The Among Us rules the wasteland.
Give them nothing.
Blow it up.
Give them nothing.
Among Us will not be defiled.
Where's Headbutts the hostage? The straggly-haired feral kid pops up from a hole in the ground beside the bandits. He flings his boomerang at Wes, who ducks. The boomerang returns to him and he catches it in his gloved hand. He launches it at Wes's boyfriend and it sticks in his skull, killing him instantly. Wes, who wears backless trousers, squats by his dead lover. He glares at the boy. Wes hurls the boomerang. It soars, then carves an arc back towards the bandits. Toadie runs to catch it. He reaches out for it and it chops his fingers off. The bandits laugh. The feral kid backflips into the hole and disappears. Toadie's fur hat is actually a helmet with a strip of fur across it like a mohawk.
No more games! We are here for a purpose. We come with an offer.
Wes rises angrily from beside his boyfriend's body. Muscle-bound, hockey-masked Humongous restrains Wes. Max and the attractive, sandy-haired woman manning the crossbow share a look. She turns to look at the man in the headscarf, who nods. Humongous has Wes in a headlock.
We all are someone we love. But we do it my way.
Loses, wait.
We do it my way. Fear is our ally. The gasoline will be ours. Then you shall have your revenge.
He tightens his grip, and Wes passes out. A man in a mask runs over, and Humongous lowers Wes onto his shoulder. The masked man carries him off. Scantily clad, leather-thonged Humongous sits back down aboard his open-topped vehicle. He speaks into a microphone.
None here without sin. But I have an honorable compromise.
Just walk away. Give the pump.
The oil. The gasoline.
And the whole compound. And I spare you lives.
Just walk away. I will give you safe passage in the wasteland.
Just walk away, and there will be an end to the horror.
I await your answer. You have one more day to decide.
The bandit army fire up their engines. Wes is tied up on the sidecar of a motorbike. A bandit drags Wes's boyfriend over to a pickup truck. The people of the compound watch from the fortifications as the bandits hair off in a dusty haze. The man with the receding hair screams out at them. He shoots an arrow. The dead man's mother tries to calm him, then scurries off. He stares out over the wasteland. The feral kid retrieves his bloody boomerang from the ground. Max steps down from the platform. The dead man's mother addresses the people of the compound from a high walkway.
We don't have to die! All we have to do is walk away!
No, we've worked too hard!
It's simple! All we do is change the fuel and this junkyard for our lives!
Look, if we walk out there, they'll slaughter us! They'll set us loose and then cut us down like pigs!
No, listen to them!
All right. This is it. I'll talk to this Humongous. He's a reasonable man. Open to negotiation.
He promised us safe passage. He gave his word.
And let us suppose he keeps it.
And we walk away from here with our lives. What then?
Do we wander the wasteland and become like them? Savages?
Max sits alone on the walkway by the car tire battlements. The feral kid emerges from the tunnel and stares up at him curiously. Their eyes meet. The kid motions with his blood-stained steel boomerang. Max frowns at the boy, whose dusty, windswept hair is comically large. Max reaches into his jacket and produces the music box. He turns its little handle. The kid's face lights up. The kid looks impressed. Max makes like he's going to throw it to him, then does so. The boy catches it and turns its handle.
But remember one thing.
He runs off. Papagallo.
That is our lifeline to a place beyond that vermin on machines. To a place where we can start again.
That's 2,000 miles from here. How do you expect us to get it there? Drag it?
If we have to, yes, there's always a way. But the first step, defend the fuel. And I stay. Alone if I have to. I'll leave them nothing. That I promise.
Words. Just words. You die for a pipe dream.
We fight for a belief. I stay.
The mother stands with her hands on her hips. A group of them throw their weapons in a pile.
You can't expect to compete with that. Every day we get weaker while they get stronger. It's finished. I'm sorry.
Max whistles.
2 days ago, I saw a vehicle that had hauled that tanker.
They turn to look at him.
You want to get out of here? You talk to me.
Max sits in a tent with Papagallo, the mother, the man with receding hair, and a few others.
You give me back my vehicle and as much juice as I can carry.
We lost 8 good people this morning. What's he got in mind?
Now, to do the job, I need 5 gallons of diesel and some high-octane gasoline. Think of it as a down payment.
The sandy-haired woman leans forward.
He has to come back for his wheels.
What have we got to lose?
Got yourself a deal.
Papagallo. Night. The elite members of the compound watch as Max makes to leave laden with large cans of fuel, which he carries on a steel pole over his shoulders. The man with the receding hair puts a plank of wood over the ditch, and Max starts across it, followed by his dog. Max stops and looks back. The receding man oils Max's leg brace. The blonde woman who nursed the dying man hugs the feral kid. They watch Max cross the plank over the ditch and start across the wasteland with the heavy fuel cans. Max stumbles, then breaks into a run, disappearing into the inky black night. Max creeps through the darkness near to a bandit camp. He falls down a dirt bank. A bandit hears him and stands up, sharply removing a frightening mask. Max calls up the bank. The dog joins him. Max draws a knife and stares up out of the pit. The bandit approaches, scanning around in the darkness. The swarthy bandit stands at the edge of the pit and glances around, as yet unaware of Max. It's the feral kid. Hiding out of sight against the bank of the pit, he howls like a wolf to distract the bandit. The bandit glances over, then picks up a rock and hurls it in the direction of the noise. It whistles over the boy's head and lands in the distance. The bandit listens for a moment, then heads back to camp. Max looks at the kid, who gestures with a nod of his head. Max bends down and quietly picks up the heavy fuel cans on the steel pole. He carefully creeps past the feral kid, who scampers down from the bank and watches him go. Day. Max treks to the top of a mountain ridge with the pole across his shoulders and the dog leading the way with its tail wagging. The compound stands behind him in the distance on the desert below. Max staggers forward and looks back over the bleak panorama. He looks weary. He pauses for a moment and continues on his way. The gyro captain hobbles along the sun-baked wastes, dragging a dead tree limb to which he remains shackled. Max and the dog stare at him from behind as he trudges along through the dusty murk. The gnarled tree limb is sun-bleached and pale like a giant bone. The dog barks and he stops in his tracks. He looks back at them, his face obscured by flying goggles and a scarf. The dog runs after him. Max puts the fuel down. The captain carries the fuel as they troop across the wasteland together. The captain natters as they stroll amongst dead, bare trees. They come across a buggy, a dead man and a dead snake by the captain's gyrocopter. The captain picks up the snake. Max goes through the dead man's pockets.
Lethal, these snakes. Born killers. I... No! It's my snake. I trained it. I'm gonna eat it. So find your own. Get out of it. I got a recipe for snake. Delicious. Fricassee of reptile. Get out! Better than your dog food. No! Pure protein, minerals, vitamins. Man's got to look after himself. Healthy mind, healthy body, dog. You are what you eat, I reckon. Get away. You two ought to take a look in the mirror sometime. No style, no taste. Empty. All this time. That is honest.
Max's gun. Max loads it with a found shotgun shell.
Let's have a look at this machine of yours.
Max holsters it.
Find out.
Go.
He aims.
You gotta understand the basics of aerodynamics in a thing like this.
Shut up.
The gyrocopter soars through the air with both of them on board. They ascend towards the clouds. Having landed the gyrocopter, the gyro captain watches as Max tries to start the truck he came across earlier. A great cloud of smoke billows out from beneath the truck as Max starts the engine. The captain hops around gleefully.
Do what you want.
Max tosses him a set of keys.
Madness.
Max pulls away in the truck, leaving the trailer and the captain behind. The captain's ankles are still shackled.
Madness.
Whimpering, the captain fumbles with the cuffs shackling his wrists. Max tears across the landscape in the Mack truck. He stops on the road and cracks his sawn-off shotgun open to inspect the barrel. He snaps it shut again and puts it down on the passenger seat beside him. He stares off pensively down the road, then throws the truck into gear and starts off again. The dog sleeps on the floor by the passenger seat. The captain flies after him in the gyrocopter. A mohawked bandit carefully shaves Wes's head at the roadside. Hearing an engine, Wes turns sharply to see Max's truck crest a hill in the near distance. The bandits run to their vehicles and race after Max down the stretch of road. One of them remains, lying on his back under a car to tinker with its inner workings. Max spots a masked bandit hairing up alongside him in a supercharged V8 and he slams it off the road. It careens into the car the man is working on and it falls off its cinder blocks, crushing him. Looking down from the chopper, the captain grins. Hurtling along in a motorbike sidecar, Wes shoots a crossbow bolt at one of the truck's tyres. The biker he's riding with drives up alongside the back of the truck, and Wes climbs onto it. His legs waggle as he drags himself onto the flat structure behind the cab where the trailer would rest, his backside exposed to the elements in his ridiculous backless leather trousers. The captain looks down from his chopper. Wes clings to the back of the cab as the truck motors along, pursued by other bikers. Up ahead, hockey-masked Humongous runs up to the roadside and stares at them as they approach. A bandit throws a rock at Max's windscreen. A spider's web of cracks appears on the glass. Humongous takes a revolver with a telescopic sight from a carry case. He looks at the approaching vehicles and loads his gun. Max pushes the broken windscreen out of the frame and points his gun ahead of him. He pulls the trigger, but the muzzle flare is weak and sparks fizzle from the breech of the gun. He frowns and puts the gun down. He ducks as Humongous fires, hitting the truck's radiator grill. Max careers off the road, snagging a tent, which is torn away to reveal a man and a woman having it off. Max toots his horn. Papagallo looks out through binoculars from a gun turret at the compound. Wes punches through the driver's side window of the truck and grabs Max around the neck. A pickup hurtles up alongside the Mack truck as Max grapples with Wes. A man in the back of the pickup shoots a multi-barreled gun at the truck, then waves at his driver who steers the pickup left so that the gunman can take aim from the opposite side. A battered old police car hares alongside the pickup. In the air above, the captain produces the snake and throws it down at the gunman. Panicking, the gunman shoots his driver and the vehicle hurtles off the road, plowing through some stacked cars and smashing nose first into the ground. The Mack truck motors into the compound, followed by two enemy buggies. The armored bus blocks the entrance, and a guy atop a turret tortures a vehicle outside with a flamethrower. Wes climbs up on top of the truck and grabs an overhead pipe, swinging up onto an elevated walkway. The blonde woman watches from a tent. A leather-clad bandit runs over to the bus and reaches in through the window to grab the dead man's mother, who's at the wheel. Humongous is outside. A woman slits the leather-clad bandit's throat. A bandit is shot in the back with a bolt. Wes looks along the walkway to see the man with the receding hair nervously clutching a crossbow. Wes charges, somersaults over him, grabs him and headbutts him. Screaming, Wes flings him from the battlements. Papa Gallo toasts more bandits with a flamethrower from his high vantage. A bandit shoots him in the hip with a crossbow bolt and he keels over. Wes grabs a dangling rope and swings from the walkway to a scaffold mast. Max tackles a bandit to the ground. Wes leaps from the mast and slides down the sloping canvas of a tent. The guy on the harness swings down, hitting a bandit. Wes climbs on top of a truck. Max climbs up on top of the bus blocking the entrance. The people of the compound stare up at Wes, who stands atop the oil tanker. Max leaps behind the mounted flamethrower and sees off some approaching bandits. Humongous watches. Wes points at Max. The feral kid flings his boomerang, clipping Wes's hand. The captain descends over the compound in his gyrocopter. Wes runs along the tanker and leaps in the air, grabbing a tall lamppost which topples with him clinging to it. He lands unharmed and runs away. The bandits scarper.
That's my man!
Let's go overboard now. Don't touch the least precision instrument. Touch.
The feral kid fingers a propeller. The kid stops. The captain turns his back, and the kid carries on.
Tell me, son.
This machine. A bearded old war hero.
It can take two. Can?
Possibly.
He grins suggestively at the pretty blonde woman. The man in the headscarf squats beside a wounded Papa Gallo.
Okay, listen, everyone.
The man addresses his comrades from the high walkway.
No, just get on with it. Timbo, Derek, Papa Gallo's been hurt.
How's the rig?
The rig! How is she?
Got a cracked timing case cover and it's broken a couple of teeth off the timing gears.
Got a cracked timing case cover, it's broken a couple of teeth off the timing gear. Yeah,
the radiator's damaged the core.
The radiator's damaged at the core.
Got a cracked water pump.
It's got a cracked water pump.
And a fractured injector line.
It's got a fractured injector line.
Well, what does all that mean?
Yeah, okay, but what does that mean?
What does that mean? 24 hours.
24 hours?
They've got 12.
You've got 12! Okay.
Let's get him down, quick, come on.
The sultry, sandy-haired woman takes over from Max at the flamethrower.
Sorry.
Max looks at her forgivingly, then turns away. He strolls amongst the people of the compound with his dog following at his feet. The feral kid follows too.
You're okay by me, son. With you driving that rig, we got it licked. Nice have you aboard, son.
I've been saving on us. I want you to have them. Thank you, and welcome.
Two shotgun shells.
Hey, it's been a pleasure doing business with you, but I'm leaving.
He steps back and raises his hands. Stubbly Max turns and walks away. A figure calls out from atop the refinery tower. Humongous and his men have gathered on the hillside. Max watches them casually and eats dog food.
Vengeance, Lord Humongous! I promise you, nobody, nobody gets out of here alive.
Night falls. Humongous's men prepare for war. Men wave flaming torches. Others carve circles in the dirt with their motorbikes. Men howl and cheer as Humongous gives an impassioned speech, flexing his muscles and gesticulating emphatically. Two people are crucified. Brooding clouds loom as palls of smoke rise from scattered fires. A masked man holds up a glove sporting a deadly steel claw, the crucified figures are silhouetted against bright headlamps. Men stand at the flamethrowers on the elevated gun turrets of the compound. They share a look. Inside, the compound is a hive of activity. Sparks fly as vehicles are repaired and modified. The bearded old war hero chases two pigs. All about the compound, people work hastily to repair and modify vehicles. The bushy-haired paraplegic guy turns a spanner. Carrying a few belongings, the gyro captain and the pretty blonde sneak away from the others to a darkened corner where his chopper's parked. Her hair is tied in a vertical ponytail atop her head. She stops and looks back uncertainly at her comrades as the captain loads the chopper. He senses something is wrong and puts a hand on her shoulder.
What's wrong? Come on.
Just seems really wrong sneaking away like this.
Oh, look, but you said you wanted to come, sweetheart.
I know I did.
Look, you're scared. Look, it'd be much safer up there. What are we waiting for? Right?
This is my family. I'm not going to leave these people. I'm staying. I'm sorry.
He smiles and pats her on the back. She walks into the light of the compound and puts her belongings down on an improvised table. The captain's wide, toothy smile fades. He looks momentarily disappointed, then accepting, then starts back into the compound. Max stands by himself, filling the Falcon with fuel from a barrel with a manual pump. The feral kid looks down at him from the rafters above. Papagallo and the war hero stroll up.
He's leaving!
Look, I don't have time for long speeches. I want you to drive the tank.
Sorry. We had a contract. I get my part of the bargain.
We'll make a new contract.
Got all I need here.
He shakes his head.
I could offer you that. Rebuild our lives.
Max,
buy a ticket for 2,000 miles.
You have to come, sonny. This is where we're going. Paradise. 2,000 miles from here. Fresh water. Plenty of sunshine. Nothing to do but breathe.
No, thanks.
What is it with you?
Postcards.
Come on, Max. Everyone's looking for something. You're happy out there, are you? Hey, wandering? One day blurring into another? You're a scavenger, Max. You're a maggot. Do you know that? You're living off the corpse of the old world. Tell me your story, Max. Come on, tell me your story. What burned you out, huh? Kill one man too many? See too many people die? Lose some family? What's of that? You lost some family. It make you something special, does it? Hey? Listen to me.
Max punches Papagallo in the face and he tumbles to the ground, clutching his wounded hip. The war hero goes to his aid and Max leans against an oil drum. Papagallo staggers to his feet. Papagallo stumbles forward and cocks his head with a sneer.
We've all been through it in here, but we haven't given up. We're still human beings with dignity. But you... you're out there with the garbage. You're nothing.
Papagallo walks away, leaving Max to brood. Max fits the explosive device to the underbelly of his car. While he squats at the rear to activate it, the feral kid drops down from the rafters onto the car's roof. Hearing the noise, Max stands up. He opens the passenger door to reveal the kid turning the handle of his music box and grinning.
Come on, get out of here.
Max takes the music box and flings it. The kid vaults over the open car door and scuttles over to it. He picks it up and starts back to the car, but Max picks up his other belongings wrapped in a fur and chucks them down. The kid picks them up and stares at Max. The kid backs off and walks away. Night. Men stand at the flamethrowers and on the high walkways and battlements. The Falcon rolls across the interior of the compound. The man in the Middle Eastern-style headscarf goes to Papagallo, who sits ruminating in his tent, turning an hourglass in one hand.
Well, let's keep his vehicle, at least.
He fulfilled his contract. He's an honourable man.
OK, so who's going to drive the tanker?
I am.
The man in the headdress walks away. Papagallo stares pensively at the hourglass. Max reverses the armoured bus. The paraplegic man watches from his swing-like harness as Max heads for his Falcon. The gyro captain approaches Max, clutching a chicken.
You're making a serious mistake. Splitting a great team. You and me together, think of the possibility.
See you around, maybe. Goodbye. Good luck.
Max drives off, leaving the captain with the pretty blonde. The feral kid watches him go from the entrance. The Falcon hurtles off into the night. Wes sits with his eyes closed by a cow's skull on a pike. He wears white war paint beneath his eyes and across his forehead. His eyes open, and he rises to see Max approaching. He gets moving. The bandits leap into their vehicles as Max whizzes past. They chase after him across the barren plains. Humongous watches them go. Max hurtles along against a dramatic dawn sky streaked with clouds. He engages the supercharger and accelerates. Day. Wes is hot on Max's tail on the long straight desert road. He perches on the front of a speeding buggy driven by a man in a leather face mask and white helmet. The driver turns a nozzle, sending nitrous oxide to the engine. The needle on the speedo climbs towards 70. Wes gestures and he lets it rip. The needle hits 80 and the car surges forward. Wes smashes the Falcon's windscreen with a long exhaust pipe. The Falcon barrel rolls off the road and down a steep slope. The mangled Falcon lands upside down. Max slides half out of the window on his back, blood running down his face. The dog scampers out unharmed. The bandits start towards Max. The dog scarpers. Wes hangs back by the roadside at the top of the slope. He stares down at the charred vehicle. The masked, leather-clad driver runs down the slope towards the charred vehicle, followed by middle-aged, bespectacled toady. They both carry gas cans. The driver drops his and points his crossbow gun into the car. Max has vanished. Toady taps the gas tanks at the rear of the vehicle. The driver wanders off across the rocky waste in search of Max. A pair of legs stick out from behind a boulder. Max stares at the driver. His dog hops up from behind the boulder and regards the driver curiously. The driver levels his crossbow at the dog. Toady turns from the car with a malicious grin, then gets back to work. The driver draws back the string of his bow. Toady uncaps the Falcon's fuel tank, triggering the explosive device. A fuse starts to burn. The driver loads a deadly sharp bolt onto his crossbow. Max weakly lifts his shotgun, but drops it. The fuse burns. Toady rises to inspect it. The car explodes, sending Toady and the driver flying. Max is shielded from the blast by the boulder. Mighty flames rise from the wreckage. Wes stares down unharmed from the roadside. More bandits arrive and leap from their vehicle. Wounded, Max watches them depart and hangs his head. At the compound, a man stands on a high steel mast looking out at the smoke from the explosion. He points. The captain extends his telescope and looks out beyond a razor wire fence to a broad column of smoke on the horizon. He marches away from the perimeter. Max crawls wearily across the desert. He drags himself along, inch by inch, his vision blurring. He plods forward over rocky ground on his hands, dragging his legs limply behind him. Thin, opaque dust clouds wash over him as he stops and rolls onto his back. He coughs. The captain's gyrocopter descends through the sky above him. Max wakes on the flying chopper, laid back with his head dangling over the side. He looks around to get his bearings and waves weakly at a group camped on the wasteland below. A flashback of the Tatterdemalion gyro captain leaning over him on the ground. Max opens his eyes wide. The rickety fence of the disused animal pen drifts by below as they fly over the fortified compound with its metal industrial buildings, scattered cars, and ramshackle dwellings. Max lies on his back, semi-naked in the dark. Sweat glistens on his brow. He's in a trailer. He looks out of the open doorway to see the refinery tower and men stationed on the elevated walkways. The feral kid hangs upside down in silhouette, peering in through the doorway. Max's right arm and torso are wrapped in bandages. He sits up. The kid tosses belongings down onto the ground outside. The man with the receding hair lies dead beside Max. Max sees him and splutters. The feral kid hangs down by his fingertips in the doorway. He drops to the ground and collects up the items he threw down. They're Max's things. He takes them over to Max. He and Max share a look. Papagallo addresses the gyro captain and the people of the compound.
We'll crash through. Now at this point, that's all they want. The tank. So they come straight after us. So we'll use that to punch our way out. All of you a very, very good chance. Now, don't hesitate. Once you're outside there, split up and go as hard as you can. Now, 200 miles to the north, there's a place with a bridge. That's our rendezvous. Give us till sunset.
The kid helps Max out of the trailer.
It's all the same to you. I'll drive that tanker.
They look at Max.
Too late for deals.
No deals. I want to drive the truck.
Why? Why the big change of heart?
Believe me, I haven't got a choice.
And how do you think you'd do it? I mean, look at you.
You couldn't even drive a wheelchair.
You should look at yourself, Max. You're a mess.
Come on, cut the crap. I'm the best chance you've got.
Papagallo considers, then hands Max his gun and a little cloth parcel. Max opens the cloth parcel to reveal a handful of shotgun shells. The kid watches as he loads both barrels of the sawn-off shotgun. And prepare to leave. The man in the headscarf runs by the Mack truck, which is connected to the oil tanker. Max sits behind the wheel. He shares a look with Papagallo, who's at the wheel of a vehicle to his right. They nod at each other. The man in the headscarf climbs up between the cab and the tanker and readies his crossbow. Papagallo dons an American football helmet. The blonde smiles at the captain as he turns the blades of his chopper to get them started. He smiles back at her. The bandits assemble side by side in their vehicles. Wes stands on the front of Humongous's large open-topped vehicle with a choke chain around his neck. At the wheel, Humongous pulls it taut, and Wes stands up. Max stares determinedly from the cab of the truck, which now has a heavy-duty steel bumper. The spirited female fighter spots the kid on the outside of the truck. The kid tries to escape, but a man grabs him and carries him over to the blonde, who restrains him with a bit of a struggle. The bandits are parked just out of shooting distance of the compound. Humongous loads his revolver with the telescopic sight. Max sets out from the compound, pulling the tanker. The kid breaks free from the blonde's grasp. He leaps onto the step of the truck and clings on as it powers out of the main gates, bashing a car out of the way with its mighty bumper. Humongous opens fire with the revolver. His shots leave gaping holes in the thick steel bumper, but Max is unharmed. The captain swoops down over the bandits and throws a petrol bomb at a car, engulfing it in flames. The kid clings on behind the cab. He ducks as Max plows through a line of bandits. The chopper flies high, then swoops down over the bandits. Humongous shoots at it. He careens up out of firing range. Armed figures stand at makeshift turrets at each end of the tanker. The bandits hair after Max. Some of them stop and look back to see a convoy leaving the compound and heading off in the other direction. The bandits split up, and some of them head back towards the undefended oil plant. Two bikers and two guys in a buggy roll into the compound. They draw to a halt and dismount, hugging each other and throwing their arms wide in celebration. A fuse burns down to nothing, and the refinery tower explodes. Billowing flames engulf the compound, triggering a chain reaction of powerful explosions, showering the surrounding area with debris. The war hero looks back at the devastation from the moving bus. The blonde and the dead man's grey-haired mother look back too. Detritus is sprayed skyward as great palls of white smoke are churned out from amidst the roaring flames. Car tyres sail into the air, and flaming shards of debris rocket down towards the desert, leaving wispy smoke trails in their wake. A mushroom cloud forms over the burning compound. A convoy of bandits makes its way along the never-ending desert road in pursuit of Max and Papagallo. The turrets on the tanker are adorned with clustered spikes. The man in the headscarf squats in an armoured box like a balcony at the rear of the tanker. At the wheel of a robust open-topped vehicle with a tapering cylindrical body, Papagallo hangs a right off the road and onto the wasteland. Bandits follow him. The sandy-haired woman peers out from a turret with her crossbow at the ready as the other bandits gain on the tanker. A masked man climbs from a moving car onto Humongous's speeding vehicle. A modified pickup truck with a mounted multi-barreled gun hairs up alongside it. Humongous releases Wes, and the masked man cuts a chain shackling Wes's wrists. Wes leaps onto the pickup. The paraplegic guy pops up in one of the tanker's turrets. He and the man in the headscarf hurl Molotov cocktails at the advancing cars. One explodes on a car's bonnet and it crashes. Max glances back in his wing mirror. The feral kid is nestled in behind the cab. Wes swings a grappling hook on a chain above his head. Drawing up alongside Max, he throws it through the open driver's window. It gains purchase, and Wes wrenches the driver's side door off. The man in the headscarf reloads his crossbow as a masked man in an approaching buggy swings another grappling hook on a chain. He flings it, and it skewers the headscarfed man in the leg, pinning him to the armored box he's in. The chain is attached to the buggy, and it overturns, bouncing down the road behind the tanker. The head-dressed man tumbles onto the road as the steel box is wrenched off the back of the tanker, crushing him. The paraplegic man lights another Molotov cocktail. As he rears up to throw it, he gets shot with a crossbow bolt. He drops the petrol bomb and sets his legs alight. He pats them frantically and his gloves catch fire. He pulls a desperate expression. A masked man climbs off a moving motorbike onto the side of the tanker and tries to climb up it. The sandy-haired woman shoots him with her crossbow.
I'm all right.
He dangles from the speeding tanker, the paraplegic. Wes aims the quadra-barreled pneumatic arrow gun at the woman on the tanker and fires, shooting her in the stomach. The paraplegic watches grimly as she keels over and falls off the side, caught and held there by a length of defensive barbed wire. The paraplegic's gloves are still on fire. He slices through a plastic water pouch with a knife. The woman looks around, snagged in the barbed wire. Wes gives the masked man on the other side of the tanker a leg up from the pickup truck as the paraplegic puts his flaming legs out. Max rams the pickup truck and it veers off the road. The sandy-haired woman hangs limply from the other side of the tanker. The paraplegic, whose legs are tied together, tries to haul her back up. The masked man pulls himself up onto the top of the tanker and starts for the truck. A bandit in a speeding car drags the woman from the tanker, and the paraplegic falls after her, getting swept to his death under the wheels of the supercharged sports car. The kid watches from behind the cab. Max leans out of the truck with the shotgun and blasts the driver of the sports car. The kid grunts with excitement. The car bashes into a buggy which overturns. Bikers smash into it and go flying, their bodies turning in mid-flight and skidding through the dirt. The wounded driver of the car tries to ram the truck, but the truck is too powerful and plows through the car like a hot knife through butter. Max leaves the car in a smashed-up heap at the roadside and forges on down the long desert road. More bandits gain on him. A guy riding pillion on a motorbike shoots one of Max's tires out with a crossbow. The masked man aboard Humongous's vehicle clambers onto the back of the trailer as the guy riding pillion climbs onto the front. The guy at the front calls to the biker. The biker leans forward to do just that, but falls off his bike and gets swept under the wheels of the tanker. His bike disintegrates as it gets run over. The captain looks down from on high. Bandits are closing in on Papagallo. The captain steers the chopper towards the road and glides over the vehicles pursuing the tanker. As he flies high alongside the road, the pickup with Wes in it catches up with the tanker. Wes clambers up out of the pickup truck and joins one of his cohorts on top of the tanker as Max reloads his shotgun. The other bandit clambers towards the front turret. He spots the kid between the trailer and the truck, and the kid edges round to the gap where the driver's door used to be. Max spots him and hauls him onto the passenger seat. The helmeted, leather-clad bandit leaps onto the roof of the truck and fires a bolt down through it, narrowly missing Max's legs. A bandit appears at the passenger side window. Max blasts him, then the guy on the roof. Max removes the smoking shells from the breech of the gun. Wes leaps down onto the roof of the truck and a bandit punches through into the cab, wrenching Max back against shards of glass. His shotgun shells go tumbling out onto the bonnet. Wes swings a makeshift flail at Max through the smashed windscreen. Max brakes sharply, throwing Wes off the roof. The other bandit wears the glove with the steel claw. He's driven it into Max's shoulder. Max grimaces. The kid tries to pull the claw free and bites at the bandit's arm. He leans out through the back window of the cab and pushes at the bandit's face. Papagallo pulls up alongside the tanker to see the kid on the unconscious bandit's back beating him. He shoots Max a questioning look. Max shrugs and rolls his eyes. Papagallo. The boy bites at the bandit's left hand. Humongous's vehicle hairs up behind Papagallo and Humongous hurls a double-headed spear. It sticks into Papagallo's back and he slumps dead at the wheel. His vehicle veers off the road in a cloud of dust. Another bandit shoots bolts at the truck, hitting the tires. The pickup slams into the side of the tanker, but only succeeds in damaging itself. Humongous draws an axe-like weapon with three pointy spikes on it. He raises it aloft and accelerates towards the truck. The captain bombs him with a Molotov cocktail and gives him an up yours arm gesture. A bandit shoots the chopper from the pickup truck with a bolt gun. It hurtles down at a steep angle and crashes. Humongous tears off a fur garment to reveal scorched and peeling flesh. He halts his flaming vehicle. Other bandits keep pace with the tanker. Max hauls the kid back into the cab. The bandit on the back of the cab comes too. The kid beats him with the shotgun. Bandits ram the sturdy tanker. Max turns the wheel with all his might, and the truck does a U-turn in the road. Armed cars hurtle after it as it tears back the way they came. The kid still has the shotgun. Max reaches out to him. The kid peers through the windscreen at a shell on the bonnet. The kid climbs out through the windscreen and onto the bonnet with wind whistling through his hair. Humongous's vehicle is no longer aflame. He pulls away and activates the improvised nitro boosters. He's thrown back with a jolt as they kick in, propelling the vehicle forward. He tears along at breakneck speed. The feral kid stares along the long bonnet at the quivering shotgun shell. As he reaches out for it, Wes pops up and grabs him. The bandit behind Max claws at him. Max tries to drag the kid back by his legs. Clinging to the radiator grill, blood-splattered Wes screams as he tries to pull the kid towards him. The kid looks up to see Humongous driving straight for them. Wes turns with a blood-curdling scream as Max plows straight into Humongous's vehicle, obliterating it. The kid is safe in the cab, but the truck and trailer hurtle off the road, overturn, and crash down in the dirt. The tanker lies smoking on its side. The bandits stop on the desert road and stare at it in the distance. Sand pours out from holes in the overturned tanker. The bandits stare impassively. They fire up their engines and drive away. Dust blows in a thin haze over the mangled truck. Max is slumped upside down inside the wreckage with the boy on top of him. He struggles to pull his braced leg up to his chest, then pulls himself upright. His bandaged arm is bloodstained. The kid is unconscious. He carries the kid under one arm as he staggers round the truck to the underside of the toppled tanker. Wheels of the tanker are still spinning. Max looks down at sand spilling from a pipe that juts out of the tanker. He frowns and puts out his hand, allowing the grains to wash through his fingers and collect in a mound in his palm. He stares at the sand in his palm. Cut and bleeding, the kid looks at him, mouth agape. The gyro captain drives towards them in his battered chopper. Max leans wearily against the tanker and looks at him as he rolls to a stop. He removes his flying goggles, grins, and flexes his eyebrows. Max smiles and shakes his head. The kid stares out of the back of the bus as it drives away with the other vehicles from the compound, filled with barrels of fuel.
To safety, to our place in the sun. Among us we found a new leader, the man who came from the sky. The gyro captain. And just as Papagallo had planned, we travelled far beyond the reach of men and machines. The juice, the precious juice, was hidden in the vehicles. As for me, I grew to manhood. In the fullness of time,
the kid
became the leader, the chief of the great northern tribe. And the road warrior? That was the last we ever saw of him. He lives now, only in my memories.
Max stands alone in the dusty road watching them drive away into the night. ITFC audio description.